Good morning. It is good to have you here. I know that we have a lot of people on vacation this week, so it's it's Scott and Rita and Lisa and I are kind of do it all. It's going to be good. So got to ring the bell. I don't get to ring the bell very often since I'm usually up here. It's good to welcome you. I hope that you're doing well. And we are going to open with Psalm 24, if I can get there. There we go. Psalm 24 begins with, The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Let's worship God together.
If you would like to use your hymnal. On this first day, you began your new creation, raising Jesus from the darkness of death. On this Lord's Day, grant that we, the people who you create by water and the Spirit, may be joined with all your works in praising you for your great glory. Through Jesus Christ, in union with the Holy Spirit, we praise you now and forever. Amen. And now, stand for our praise songs. The first one is, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus, which is number 352. Yeah. next song is Thy Word. It's number 184.
Moments where you'd have the producer going, I'm going to see if I can't get this to work. Try it again. So I do my sermon on the iPad on Proclaim, but for whatever reason, Proclaim is not even showing up on my iPad this morning. It was, and then it wasn't. So we're going to pause briefly. Feel free to talk among yourselves while I try and find this here. See if we can't get to work. No, it's not recognizing the app. Doesn't even recognize my Logos app. So set that aside. So I'm going to need a little bit of help from Scott. Today, and Scott, I'm not going to be able to tell you always when I want to go to the next slide, but I will do my best. So with that, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this place where we can gather and worship. where we can sing songs about your word being a light unto our path, where we can spend time reflecting on your word, considering what it has to say to us, learning from it, growing from it, and applying it to our lives, Lord, that we might shine your light beyond this congregation. God, we thank you for technology, even when it fails us, because it reminds us that you do not fail us, that you are constantly there with us and for us. So God, we ask now this morning that you would help us turn our attention to your word. And God, I pray that we might hear your word and hear it in a fresh way, in a real way, that it might be as if we are hearing from you yourself, because that is what is in your word. You have shared your word with us. May we hear it. May we live by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we begin this morning, we are going to be doing a series on Ephesians for the next several weeks. And we're going to be hearing from Paul's letter to the churches around that region. He wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, but it wasn't just for that church. It was a letter that was to be shared around the communities, the different churches. So like in that group, if you learned that group of books, some people learned it, General Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They go eat popcorn in colossal sizes. That's how I remember the order of those. But there were different churches around the region that this letter would likely have been distributed to. And so we're going to be looking at that. We're going to see the scope of God's eternal plan for all of humanity. So I'm going to read the scripture first. I'm going to read the passage twice this morning, which is something I don't normally do. The first time, we're not going to have the words on the screen. The second time, we will have the words on the screen. And I want you to listen for repeated phrases. Phrases or words that Paul uses as we prepare to hear and to dive into this scripture. So let's begin this moment and let's just take a time to be quiet and kind of prepare for what Paul has written to the church at Ephesus. The Apostle Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. To him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." And that comes from Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. So for a moment, think of what words you heard, what phrases stuck out to you. What's the message? So let's listen to it again. And this time we're going to put the words up. And Scott, you know I have no control over the passage. So here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So again, that comes from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. So now, what did you hear? Now, there's a lot in this passage, and we don't have time to cover it all, which is something a speaker is never supposed to say. But one of the things I want to point out is when you study Scripture, entire sermons have been written on just one verse or even one word. You may remember when we did the creation series that we spent 2 weeks on the first four words of Genesis 1. And so the same is true here because this is coming from Scripture. But as that is true in most Scripture, that there's so much, the theological implications here are truly profound. For Paul, this entire passage was perhaps one single sentence. That's one of the things that's kind of frustrating about Paul sometimes. Sometimes he just seems to do the William Faulkner thing and go on and on and on with these ginormous sentences. And this is one of them. In our scriptures, the translations, they tend to be broken up because for our ability to read it and be able to breathe. But for Paul, it was all one thought. So as I read this passage over and over again this week, I pick up on words like blessed and blessing, that we were chosen and predestined for a purpose. And then there's that phrase, to the praise of his glorious grace in verse 6, and to the praise of his glory in verses 12 and 14. As I said, there's a lot in this passage, so I'm going to focus upon this aspect, the praise of his glory. When I was in college, one of my roommates described himself as an atheist. And when I asked him why he considered himself an atheist, his answer was this. He said that he found it difficult to believe in there being a God that was so self-absorbed as to demand himself to be praised. You need to praise me. Give me the glory. It sounded very self-absorbed to him. And so it does raise a question. I didn't have an answer for him at the time. Is God self-absorbed to be commanding our praise, or is God loving and about others? We see one is inwardly focused and the other outward. One is wrapped up in oneself and the other in others. Which is God? What does our passage have to teach us? Well, there's three times in this passage where Paul points us to God's ultimate goal of being glorified in his saints and marveled at among all who believe. I believe it's in the next slide, Scott. In love, he predestined us according to the purpose of him so that we might be... In love, he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons to the praise of his glorious grace. And then the next one, we have been predestined according to the purpose of him so that we might be to the praise of his glory. And that's in verses 11 and 12. And then finally, the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. God takes delight in his children's praises of his holiness and of his glory. God takes delight. When we give praise, when we sing our praise songs, God enjoys that. We hear that God inhabits the praises of his people. God delights in that. And this sounds to us so self-serving because the Bible teaches us to be about others. Aren't we told to serve others and to not seek our own? In that great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. So how can a loving God be so focused on his own glory? This is where we must consider the character of God. Who is God? This is how I would have liked to have answered my roommate his challenge so many years ago. So let's think upon who God is, and I'm going to borrow from John Piper here in his book, Desiring God. He says, because God is unique as an all-glorious, totally self-sufficient being, he must be for himself if he is to be for us. The rules of humility that belong to a creature cannot apply in the same way to its creator. If God should turn away from himself as the source of infinite joy, he would cease to be God. He would deny the infinite worth of his own glory, and it would imply that there is something more valuable outside of him. He would, in essence, commit idolatry. I want to build on that. If it's true, and I believe it is, that God is absolutely pure and absolutely holy and undefiled, then it is absolutely true that God is worthy of praise and glory. If in the purity of the character of God, may only praise and glorify that which is worthy of praise and glory, then of course he must bring himself glory and praise. Let me say that again. If it is in the purity of the character of God, his character is pure, that he must only praise what is praiseworthy and worthy of glory, then it follows that he must then give himself praise and glory. The assumption that my college roommate had made all those years ago was that he was to judge the creator based on the creation. In other words, you and I, as the creation, we would totally look at somebody as arrogant and self-centered and stuck up if they were all about their own glory. Hey, look at me. I'm this. In fact, we tend to shun people that are like that, don't we? But that's the mistake he was making. He was judging God on what we judge people on. He was judging the creator based on the creation. Now I'm blanking on his name. It'll come to me. But as one author wrote, he said that God created man in his own image, and man was very quick to return the favor. That we tend to think of God the way that we would other people. And we can't do that. We can't do that because God is the creator. God is much more than what you or I are. You and I are not worthy of glory simply because we're not pure. We're not holy. We're not undefiled. For any one of us to make such requirements to receive praise from others is selfish, and we're not deserving of it. But now we look at God, and we think, so? So knowing we are not deserving of praise, you can put so up there. I think that's the next slide. There you go. Knowing that we're not deserving of praise, we also know we're not deserving of any of God's blessings. Yet note what Paul has said, that we already have. God the Father has blessed us in Christ. And in Ephesians 1:3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." With all the spiritual blessings of heaven. Why? Let's look at Ephesians 1:4. So this is two slides down, Scott. Sorry. He says, "Even as we chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." And in love, Paul goes on and to tell us that because of God's love, he has predestined us for adoption to himself. He's blessed us in the beloved. He's redeemed us through Christ's blood and forgiven our sins. He's made known the mystery of his will. Why? According to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:8 says that this grace is what which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. This was not a mistake. God's lavishing his love and grace upon us was not a mistake. God knows your life from the beginning to the end. He sees it all at once because God lives outside of time. So if you're living outside of something, I'm living outside of this pulpit, I can see my sermon spread. I can see the beginning and the end of my sermon. You haven't seen the end of it yet, so hold on. God sees it all. There's absolutely nothing you can do that's going to surprise God. I think that that's a comfort. God has lavished the riches of his grace upon you in all wisdom and insight, knowing everything that you would ever do, everything you would ever say, everything you would ever think, all of it. God didn't give you grace and go, oops. It's not a mistake. God didn't give you grace and go, oops. This is all according to God's purpose. God isn't an egomaniac, though sometimes we are. Sometimes we think of ourselves far better than we are. God, though, sees you very clearly for who you are and what you are. Other times, we are our strongest critic. Are you like that sometimes? I am. I go, I wish I'd done it this way, or I wish it would have turned out like this, or this isn't how I planned it. I really want it to be this way. Or someone gives us a compliment, and we immediately turn around and tell them all the things that we thought was wrong with it. Okay, in this self-humility. No, God's not that critic either. God still sees you clearly for who you are and what you really are. God predestined us for adoption to himself. God knows all of our best efforts and successes, and God knows our worst failings. God knows everything any parent or friend might boast about you. And God knows your deepest and darkest secrets. God knows your public persona, and God knows your hidden self. In Ephesians 1:11, we read, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." You don't get an inheritance unless you're family. You don't get an inheritance unless you're part of that family. God adopted us. We became family because of God's work and plan. We read in verse 5, in love, he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. And I want to point out, some people, especially today, we want to be so sensitive about being sexist or being racist or all those things. I want to point out that God predestined us, all of us, for adoption to himself as sons, is how it's written here. It was because everyone was inheriting. It wasn't based only in that culture. The sons were the ones that inherited. But God adopted us, male and female, to be adopted as sons, that we were rightful heirs to inherit what God had for us. I think that's a powerful statement. So I don't want to get rid of the cultural language that is here where it says sons. It's not meaning only the men get that. It means all of us get that. And then in closing, Paul writes this in verses 13 and 14. He says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Imagine how encouraging this would have been to the church at Ephesus, to the other churches in that region, that they were sealed. Their inheritance was sealed by God with the promised Holy Spirit. It was guaranteed as their inheritance until they were able to acquire possession of it. Why? To the praise of God's glory. Indeed, to the praise of his glory. What we realize as we move through this passage is that God is not self-absorbed, but incredibly loving. God's joy is made complete in the sharing of his glory and the reflection of it back in the creation. God created humankind in God's image. Humankind, all of us, are a reflection to God of God's glory. C.S. Lewis wrote in Reflections on the Psalms, he said, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. I want to read that sentence again. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of the compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. I like that. And so it is with God. God is the only one whom seeking praise is in the end a loving action. According to Piper, from his Meditations of a Christian Hedonist, he says, when he does all these things for the praise of his glory, he preserves for us and offers to us the only thing in all the world that can satisfy our longings. God is for us. And the foundation of this love is that God has been, is now, and always will be for himself. God is glorifying himself. So as we journey through Ephesians, what might be our take away from this passage? I think a few things that we can take away right away are, one, we are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. We didn't do anything to inherit. We didn't do anything to earn this love and this grace. No, we did not. It was lavished upon us with all wisdom and knowledge. This grace has been lavished upon us. And I always think of that lavish, and I think it's just totally overdone, right? If something's lavish, it's just it's beyond our imagination. It is just poured out. Second thing I think we can take away is God doesn't make mistakes. There is not a mistake that has been made in lavishing this grace upon you. God is the source of wisdom. God knew what he was doing. God predestined. God planned. This is God's purpose for us to have received this grace. And I think lastly, we have much for which to glorify God. We have a lot to be thankful for, to give God praise for, to glorify God for, because God has lavished it upon us. God has had a plan for us from the beginning of time. It's amazing to think that back when God said, "Let us create humankind in our image," that God had a plan. That God had a plan for us. God could already see it. Once the creation is created, God knew it from beginning to end. And God knew we would be here today. God knew who would be here today. You may think that you surprised us. You may have surprised us, but you didn't surprise God. God knew you would be here today. And God knows you, loves you, and wants you to glorify him, not because he's an egomaniac, but because God is the one that is worthy of praise. And you make his joy complete. And it makes our joy complete when we lavish praise on those that are worthy of praise, such as our God. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for Paul's word. God, thank you for your purpose and your plan. That it's not just a fluke that we're here. That it's not based on what we have done in the past or what we will do in the future. Thank you. Thank you for blessing us beyond measure. God, I pray for our church. I pray for us as a congregation that as we seek to shine your light in this community, that you would give us energy and light, that we would reflect you in ways that we have not even imagined yet. God, I pray that as we express your glory, as we express your worthiness, that your joy would be fulfilled, Lord. It's for you. It's not for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Scott. Thanks for keeping up with those slides. That's not easy to do because sometimes my way of thinking is not the way other people think. I know that for sure. When we come to worship, we come and we literally bring ourselves. We bring ourselves to worship. We offer ourselves. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman church, "Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." From the beginning of time, we have brought our offerings to God because God is the one worthy of our offerings. So I want to invite you, as we are still doing kind of our somewhat distance offering, we have our offering plate there in the back, but I want you to take this time to think of how you are offering yourself to God, and I'll invite our our minimalized worship team, I guess, to lead us in Jesus' name above all names, and I'll encourage you to sing along.
Yes, please do. Jesus.
As we continue in worship this morning, we are going to the prayers of the people. And I left my pen down here. I want to invite you to, if you have prayer concerns that you would like to share, we'd love to hear that and be able to include those in our prayers this morning. Are there any prayer requests? No? Not hearing any? Okay. I did get one this morning for the family of Janice Lloyd. She passed away 3 weeks ago, correct? And they've already had a celebration of life, but just continue prayers for the family after her passing. Let's pray. Glorious God, you truly are worthy of praise and honor and glory. God, I lift up to you Bob Rittenhouse, and we thank you that he continues to heal. God, what a joy it's been for us as the Mission Woods family to continue to lift him up and just see your hand at work as he recovers. God, we lift up to you also the families of Craig Morrison, who's passed now from COVID and at the age of 44. God, we pray for his family, and we pray as they go through the grieving process. We pray for Janice Lloyd as well as her family goes through the grieving process and her friends. And God, I'm just reminded that there's not a right way to grieve. So I pray that they would have the time and the space they need. I pray that they would be encouraged and that you would provide those to come and mourn with those who mourn. Might listen to stories about Janice and about Craig. And just be able to continue to celebrate their life. Lord, we pray for Daryl, and we thank you that he's home from the hospital as he continues to take his chemotherapy. Lord, medicines have changed, and we continue to pray for your presence and healing. We thank you for Daryl's energy, and we pray for Joyce and for Ann and for Alan. God, I pray that you would just bring a sense of peace. I'm reminded of Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present our requests to you." And then the promise and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that that would be true. I pray for Bob. And we pray, we're glad he's home from the hospital. We pray for renewed strength and sense of your peace and encouragement. And we pray those verses again, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We lift up to you Corey, who's been diagnosed with breast cancer, and that spread to the lymph nodes. God, we pray that you would encapsulate that cancer. We pray that it might be removed, Lord, shrunk down, and that it might disappear. We pray for healing for Corey. We lift up to you Wilma, who's moved to Montana. She's closer to some other family over there, and God, we just pray that you would comfort her, that you would take away any sense of disorientation from the move. That you would be with her. God, we pray for Jan, Lance's mom, and we pray for effective treatment for issues with vertigo. And God, on this day and throughout the summer, we want to pray for families as they take vacations, as they travel. God, we thank you for the adventures that many are having, as I see posts on Facebook and elsewhere. God, I pray that you would protect them. Grant them travel mercies. Grant them joyous adventure. I pray that for the families that are traveling together, Lord, may you draw them closer together. For couples, may you draw them closer together. And all the while, God, I pray that they may be drawn closer to you. We pray for our nominating committee. We pray for wisdom and discernment as they meet today to consider nominees for open elder and deacon positions. And I know that there are some positions that they're having difficulty filling. So God, I pray that you would put it on individuals' hearts that they might serve, however they might serve, Lord. God, I believe that you have provided this church with everything it needs to do the mission that you've called it to do. God, continue to lead us. Show us the way. We pray for our elders and our deacons. For our elders, we pray as the session will be meeting in a couple weeks, Lord, we ask that you would be with them. For our deacons, we pray as well as they serve with incredible compassion for our congregation and our community. Lord, we continue to lift up to you many who we have been praying for a long time. Some we haven't seen in a while. We lift up to you Laura Bungie, and we ask that you would be with her and for Gary as well. We pray for Tandy. We lift her up, Lord, and we pray that you just give her strength. We pray for those that are living with MS. Specifically, we lift up to you Christy. We lift up to you those that are dealing with mental illness. We think of Wyatt and Sean. God, we think of those that are living in assisted living that haven't been here in a while. We think of Helen May. We think of Stan and Evelyn. Lord, we pray that you would be with them. We think of Don. Be with him. We think of those that are not able to come, Lord, some because of COVID, some because just life has been long. We think of Ruth. We think of her being our matriarch of our church, just such a wonderful woman, and her testimony of, God, I don't know what you have for me today, but here I am, and just show me. And she would do it. We also pray, Lord, for the people of Haiti in light of the assassination of their president and the shooting of his wife. Specifically, we pray for missionaries and the Christian community there as they work to bring the light of Christ to a very troubled situation. And God, we're thankful that you have taught us to pray. And we pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. I have just a few announcements to make. They are in, I think all of them are in your bulletin. Now I have to turn my bulletin over to see the right ones. One is the nominating committee is meeting today after worship, so they're meeting here in person. The other thing I've already mentioned kind of in our prayers is that if you feel God calling you, maybe you just want to see what it would be to be an elder or a deacon, if you're interested in that, please contact Natalie's here today. Daryl's at home today, but Natalie's there in the back, and if you're interested, please let them know. As I said, they are having a little difficulty filling one of the positions, so we want to be able to operate with a full slate. And then our next session meeting is actually scheduled for the 19th. It's on Monday. It will be via Zoom. And then we have our called congregational meeting in 2 weeks that will be here after worship. So we invite you to be a part of that. So with that, we have our closing hymn. I invite you to stand. I'll invite our minimized worship team to come on up. And we'll be singing God Be With You, hymn number 232. Yeah, it's different. Or are we singing? Did we change it? Oh, there it is. Okay.
No, I can't sing that anymore.
Kind of scared me. I just want to give a special thanks to Rita and Lisa for leading us. Special thanks to Rita for being the soloist up there. I know it's a little bit out of her comfort zone. And
I did get to pick the songs, and I picked them that they did not go above C on purpose.
Thank you, Rita. Thank you, Lisa. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all we can ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, honor, and praise, both now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in peace.
So sometimes Daryl would.